This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We continue with our lectures on the series of lectures I said we're going to have on the Quran. Before we do that, we first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beautiful rain, mashallah. I know it's a bit cold and wet, but you know, we need the rain, so we should thank Allah. We always thank Allah when it's a lovely day. We also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful rain which He sent us. Today, inshallah, we will attempt to explain the purpose of the Quran. What was the need for the Quran? What was the need for revelation of the Quran? The purpose of the Quran, of course, was to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world via Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The purpose of the Quran was also to explain to us, or to try and bring us close to the real reality. Al-haqatu mal-haqa wa ma adraka mal-haqa. What is the true reality? The true reality is the year after. To come and tell us in human language, the Arabic language, the human language, to come and tell us in human language what the other side would be like. In one sentence, revelation was sent to make the abstract concrete, to make that which we can only imagine. We can only imagine the Akhirah. We can only imagine Qiyamah. We can only imagine the grave. We can sometimes only imagine Allah and the angels and everything that happens in the Alamul Mulk, Alamul Malakut, the unseen world. In the unseen world, we connect with the unseen world via the Quran. The Quran tells us, brings to us, brings us closer, exposes to us what the unseen world is about. Now, this world, this life, this Jum'ah, your job that you have, your wife that you have, your children that you have, your property that you have, your wealth that you possess, your health that you possess, all this is used to prepare us for the other world. Although many of us may think that our wealth prepares us for this world, but you and I know that that is not true. Your wealth is you're going to leave for your children and for your wife, and if she marries again, mashallah, for that husband as well. Yet we live in a fool's paradise. All of us, mine included. When I talk, I speak about myself. We sometimes think, maybe I'm the exception. You know, maybe I'm going to live forever. Just maybe I'm the exception. But our fathers have gone. Our mother, everybody's gone. Everybody in the world is gone. And we do all these things. We make salah. We give zakah. We fast in the month of Ramadan. We try to be good. We try and speak the truth. We try and love Allah. Try and live according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? For what? It is a preparation for the Akhirah. And we do this because we know the Akhirah is not unreal. It's not a fantasy. It's not a figment of my imagination. It is true. And that is why the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, but yet we live in another world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "An-nasu na'imun." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, people are asleep. Wa idha matu yastayqidun. And when they die, they wake up. If only we could get somebody would come back sometime and tell us what it's like on the other side. But unfortunately, it's part of our iman faith that we have to believe and we have to believe in what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to tell us. Even for a young, if you used to ask a young boy, I mean, there's a young man sitting here, there's another young man, mashallah, all these young people. It's sometimes difficult for them to imagine that they will become old like us. One day they'll have gray and old, and the energy levels will be maybe a tenth of what the energy. It's hard to believe. I mean, when I was a kid, it's hard to believe that I'll be 60 years old one day. I mean, it's just too much to believe. I mean, couldn't believe that one day I'll be 60 years old and going, you know, 50 years old, and so forth and so on. So, how much more difficult isn't it to believe that there is something like divine judgment? How difficult, that's difficult to believe. It's not easy. Do you think one day you're going to get up from your grave, you're going to wipe off all the sand, dust off your sand, you know, whatever's going to happen, you're going to stand, and Allah is going to call you, and you're going to be questioned, and you're going to either go to Jahannam or go to Jannah. These are not easy things to believe. Yet the Quran tells us, and we believe, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Allah says the akhirah, the hereafter, is better and everlasting. And we believe that. I mean, we may even compare, let's compare the dunya to me telling, if I tell you, for example, you know, there's a place called Jannah. In Jannah, there are rivers of milk, rivers of honey, rivers of wine that doesn't make you drunk. There are, if you can fly, you know, for 1,000 years in the Jannah, and you'll not reach the end of the Jannah, and every day of the Jannah is equal to 1,000 years of the years of the dunya, you'll say, yeah, right. No. If you say that to a 7 or 8, you'll say, yeah, right, daddy. What next? It seems like a fantasy. It's like, you know, you put a group of people in a room, in a big house with maybe 100 rooms. From the day they were born, they were in that house. All they had in that room was pictures of what is outside. This house consists of 100 rooms. So you go into this, when they're big and adults, you go into this room and you tell them, you know, outside this room, there's another 100 rooms like this room. And outside this house, there are fields, there's grass, there's lakes, there's rivers, there's mountains, there's forests. And you know, beyond this earth, there are galaxies and planets. And you know, there's things like black holes, and the universe is expanding. And they will say, how long will you tell them when eventually they will say to you, yeah, right, you know? So what next? They won't believe you. Why won't they believe you? Because they haven't seen it. They have no knowledge of it. They were locked up in this room for their whole life. And they cannot imagine. The imagination fails them when they have to think about what is beyond. And suddenly we're all doubters. I mean, me and you, always sometimes we think, oh, you know, is this now really going to happen, you know? Is it really something like Jannah? Is it really something like Akhirah? Despite the Quran, despite the Sunnah, man is a doubting animal. Sorry to call you animals, I'm also one. But this is mankind. We are like that. And better people than us were like that. Better people than us doubted. Because doubt is the beginning of what? I don't know. What do you think? Doubt is the beginning of knowledge. Doubt is the beginning of knowledge. When you ask a question that you don't know, you begin to learn. So when you doubt anything, that's the beginning. Let's look at some examples in the Quran. Let's take the example of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. I mean, we know the status of Musa alayhi salam. He was Kalamullah. Allah spoke to him. He heard Allah's voice. Can you imagine? Can you imagine hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yet even having heard the voice of Allah, like we hear the voice of Allah, where do we hear the voice of Allah every day? We hear the voice of Allah when the Quran is read. That is the voice, that's the words of Allah. It's not the voice of Allah, but it's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah uttered those words. Allah said those words. Those words were read by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine hearing the voice of Allah in real life. Would you still doubt? Come on, would you still doubt there's an Allah? Of course you won't doubt. You would say, but I heard the voice of Allah. Of course there are people who hear voices. That's something different. Those people belong in Falkenberg. People who hear voices. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, having heard the voice of Allah, one day he said to Allah, Rabbi, my Lord, arini, anzur ilayk. This was Musa alayhi salam, one of the ulul azm, one of the five big ones. Not the ones you get in the Kruger National Park, of course. It's the five major prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. What did he say to Allah? Remember, he was a prophet. He was not me and you. He was a prophet. He said, Rabbi, arini anzur ilayka, oh Allah, appear to me. I want to see you. Can you imagine? I'm in my Haristan. I can feel my hair, you know, on my body rising. Arini anzur, oh Allah, show me, expose yourself to me. I want to look at you. I want to see you. Qal, Allah replies. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, which is the 7th Surah, verse 143. Qala lan tarani. Allah says, O Musa, lan tarani. You will never, ever be able to see me. Walakin, unzur ila al-jabal. Fa'in istaqarra makanak, fasawfa tarani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, okay, you want to see me? Look at the mountain. Look at the mountain. And the test will be, if that mountain remains standing after I've sent a ray of my nur onto that mountain, then I will allow you to see me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse goes on, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a ray of his nur onto the mountain. The mountain crumbled into dust and Musa fell fainted. He fainted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying to Musa alayhi salam, you want to see me? I will send just a small ray of my nur onto a mountain. The mountain will come. Imagine what will happen to you. Subhanallah. If I should show you myself, imagine what would happen. I can't. It's impossible. It's impossible for the makhluk to see the khaliq, for the creator to see the creator. It's not possible. So that was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, kalamullah. Another example is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Ibrahim. It's always like that. The more you know, the more you want to know. If you speak on the phone to somebody, you hear the voice, it worries you. Eventually you want to see who the person is on the other side of the phone. That's just human nature. We're all curious. And so Nabi Ibrahim was curious. He looked around him and he was the father of the prophets, not just anybody. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Man was thrown into the fire, survived the fire. Man whose father was an idol maker and seller of idols. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ Allah says, وَإِذْ in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 260, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ And when Ibrahim said, Rabbi, O my Lord, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحِي الْمَوْتَى أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحِي O Allah, show me or teach me the methodology for giving life to the dead. That is what puzzled him. Puzzles you and me as well. How is Allah going to give life to us? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to bring us back to life after we become dust? So this was something which worried Ibrahim. How is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give life to the to dead things, to the dead? What did he ask? Oh Allah, show me. He knew Allah is the one who gives life, but he. So Allah said to him, Awalam tu'min, ya Ibrahim. Allah said, Oh Ibrahim, you don't believe? I don't know if Allah was shocked at this question, but Allah said to him, Ibrahim, are you telling me that you don't believe? You want to know how I raise the dead, how I give life. Don't you believe? Like you would say to your child, you know, says, Daddy, does Allah exist? You say, don't you believe? So Allah said, don't you believe? قال نبي إبراهيم replied بلى. He said, on the contrary, Ya Allah, not like that, you know, it's not like that. You say, it's not like that, not I don't believe. Like you say, your wife says, but don't you love me? She says, but darling, it's not like that, but you know, you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you, you know. So he says, Ya Allah, it's not like that. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. This is the essence of the question of you and me and Abu Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam. What is it? لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. He said, oh Allah, I want to know because I want faith to settle in my heart. I want to be, what he was saying is, I want to be totally convinced about you. I want to be totally convinced that you exist and you can raise the dead. And you can go and read the balance of the verse in Surah Baqarah, verse 260, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him about the birds, must cut up the birds, gather them, put them on the mountains, and they will come back to you, and so forth and so on. But what we're busy with here is, Musa and Ibrahim wanted to get some insight, a window into the other world. Into the other world. The unseen world. The world about which Allah tells the Muslims in the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بال Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the Quran and Allah tells this community of believers that one of your qualities, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that you believe unquestioningly in the unseen. So here was Musa and Ibrahim wanting that glimpse into the other world. You have to die to get to the other side, unfortunately. That's why Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, when he was asked by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the things he loves? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, one of the things I love is I would love to die. So the Prophet said to him, Abu Dharr, you are a very strange man. Everybody wants to live and you want to die. Why do you want to die? He says, Ya Rasulullah, with a broad smile on his face, Ya Rasulullah, how can I meet Allah if I don't die? I'm more interested to meet Allah as soon as possible. That is my object of life. So revelation then fills this gap for us, gives us a window into the other side. That's what revelation does. It gives us a perspective of the hereafter, but it speaks about things that we can see in this world. The Quran speaks about trees and rivers and so many things. The Quran speaks about things that we can imagine in some way. Of course, we know the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Jannah is a place, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. We know the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Jannah is a place that no eye has ever seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has longed for. That is the description Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives. But Allah gives other descriptions for us in the Jannah. And you know, even when we're going to be there in the Jannah, we are still going to be overwhelmed by the Jannah. We're going to be completely swept off our feet. Subhanallah. I mean, we know in Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, in which he says that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told them about the last man who will enter Jannah. Now the last man who will enter Jannah, as you and I know, or may imagine, would be the person who would have been the worst Muslim. The really, really bad Muslim. If there's a church, they call it oxymoron, bad Muslim. It's contradiction, but they are bad Muslims. like they met other people as well. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained about the last man who will enter Jannah. This man, you will come out of Jahannam habwan. You will come out of Jahannam crawling. And you will say, Ya Rabbi, he will say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi najjana min hada. He will say, I thank Allah who has saved me from Jahannam. And he says, Oh Allah, I want nothing more than this. Just allow me to lie down here and rest. This is it. This is my biggest gift ever for me, is just to be out of Jahannam. And Allah will say to you, No. There's no place here for you. Everybody who comes out here must go to the other place called Jannah. He says, No, I don't. He says, Allah says, No, you will go to Jannah. So he goes to the Jannah, he goes in by the door. After a while, Abdi Mas'ud says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, he comes out again. So Allah asks him, Well, what happened? He says, Rabbi al-Jannatu mal'a. He said, Oh Allah, the Jannah is full. So everybody was standing by the door, you know how we are. Everybody has to say, Sit for it, Dubrus. You come into the wall, please come and sit in front. So Jannah will probably be the same. All the Cape Muslims will be standing at the door. So this poor man couldn't get in. So three times he went in, three times he comes out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Oh my servant, Ya Abdi, Ya Rab. Allah says to him, Oh my servant, what will you say to me if I tell you that the Jannah I have prepared for you is 10 times the size of the dunya where you come from? Now we fly 8 hours in the plane as well as the futur. Then we've only reached Dubai. Now imagine the last man who will enter Jannah, he's Jannah, the last man. But he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasul. So even there, we will not be able to imagine the glory and the majesty of the creation of the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, as you know, was an inveterate enemy of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he accepted Islam. And one night he was going in Makkah, in the beginning of Islam, he liked to drink. I'm not going to say what. And you know those people, when they get the urge, like smokers also, they will get up 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the shop to go and buy their cigarettes. So Umar ibn Khattab, this night he wanted so badly to drink. So he went, and the place where he got his liquor from was closed. All his friends were sleeping. There was nobody around. He was alone. Poor man. So he decided he was going to go to the Haram. Everybody, you know, that was like the waterfront that time of the Quraysh. Go to the Haram. So he comes in the Haram in the middle of the night. What does he see there? He sees the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam making salah. Because remember that time, the Quraysh was very heavily against them praying in the Haram. They couldn't pray in the Haram. They weren't allowed to pray in the Haram. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going in the dead of the night. Everybody's sleeping. So just him and the Nabi in the Haram, in the dead of the night. Umar ibn Khattab, in fact, this incident was related by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, when he was asked by somebody, when did the spark of iman come into your heart, Umar? And he related the story. He said, I was in the Haram that night, and I saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam making salah. And something said to me, go nearer and listen to what he's reading. Because remember, Umar was a poet himself. And he was one of the most intelligent persons in Makkah. He could read and write. Of the 17 people, he was one of the 17 people who could read and write. So he went nearer. As he came nearer to the Nabi, he heard the Nabi reciting, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Haqatu mal-Haqatu wa ma-Adraka mal-Haqa. Surah 69. So the Nabi is reciting verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. And as the Nabi, until the Nabi came to verse 41. When the Nabi started reciting verse 41, Omar said to him in his mind, he said, "This man is a poet." Because Al-Haqqa rhymes beautifully. So this is just poetry, man. This man is just a poet. Then the Nabi recited verse 41. Nabi didn't see him. Then the Nabi reads, what does verse 41 of Surah Al-Haqqa say? It says, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not the words of a poet. Little do you believe. So Omar got a shock. He just thought to himself, now saying to himself, this is poetry. Yeah, Muhammad reads in the same surah, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is not the words of a poet. But you know how people are when they don't want to believe, they don't want to believe. When they don't want to accept, they don't want to accept. They give 100 excuses not to. One of them is, of course, I'm of the old school. I'll be all of the new school. The new school of Muhammad and the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. That's our school. That's our university. Hopefully we'll graduate from that university, inshallah. Because only people with a certificate from the Quran and Sunnah will go to Jannah. If you got your certificate from anywhere else, not good enough. You have to have, as a Muslim, that certificate. So, when he heard this, it gave him a shock. Then he said, oh man, Muhammad is just a dukum. You'll see, he's a dukum. Yeah, he probably knew what I was thinking and he's just a, you know, he's just a fortune teller. So as he's saying, he's just a fortune teller, Nabi recites verse 42. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Nabi recites. And this is not the words of a fortune teller. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Little do you receive admonition. Little do you want to hear, Allah says. Little do you want to listen to the truth. Now Omar was, of course, in a state. I mean, he was in a state. So he says, Omar says to himself, he probably heard this somewhere, you know. So I probably heard this somewhere. Just now reciting it. Just coincidentally I'm here. And coincidentally I'm thinking all these things. Then Allah reads verse 43. تَنْزِيلُ مُرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah puts a stamp on. Allah says, this is a revelation from the Lord of the universe. Subhanallah. This is a revelation from the Lord of the universe. So even Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, he wanted to know. He got a glimpse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a glimpse into the fact that Allah created him. That Allah knows his inner thoughts. And Allah will answer his inner thoughts for him. And this is what stirred Umar ibn al-Khattab to eventually become the Muslim that he became. And the final example, of course, will be the example of Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We've seen how Ibrahim, Musa, and Musa alayhi as-salatu wassalam wanted to get a glimpse into the year after, into the unseen, to the ghaib. What about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was he also a doubter? Did he also need confirmation? Let's see. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. One day comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, I would like you to show me how, in the form that Allah created you. Again, wanting to see. He wanted to see. Because Jibreel came to him in the form, sometimes in the form of a man. So he said to Jibreel, please, man, just show me how, what are you like? You, the angelic personality. I want to see
your form as an angel. Jibreel said, Ya Habib Allah, O beloved of Allah, my form, you want to see me as I was created by Allah? I've got a terrifying form. It's terrifying. Anybody who looks upon me in that form will tear himself apart. He'll be torn apart. He'll explode.
Sounds like one of those sci-fi movies. It's not. This is reality.
He says, you'll be torn apart. Prophet, no. Prophet said, no. I want to see you. Please, I want to see you. I'm insisting you must show me how you look.
Jibreel said, okay, your wish is my command. You know, you're the beloved of Allah. If you give a command, you know, I have to carry a card.
Then there was a great rush of sound. A great rush of sound. Like a hurricane in full blast. And Jibreel appeared. In his earth-crushing splendor, as it is said. He was so large that he blotted out the sun. The Prophet couldn't see the horizon. Of course, the Prophet fainted. Just as Jibreel said. This is the other world. This is a world that can only be seen by eyes that are transformed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like when you go into a cinema and it's a 3D film. You can't see it on with plain. You must put on other glasses to see the 3D. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform us when we reach the other side, the other world, inshallah. When he revived, Nabi Salam revived, Jibreel embraced him back to his normal self and kissed him. Probably saw that he was shaken. Muhammad was really, he was shaken up. And said to him, La takhaf, ana akhuka Jibreel, oh my, don't fear, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm your brother Jibreel. In other words, he was so shaken, he had to be comforted by Jibreel alayhi wa sallam. Then Jibreel said to him, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have now glimpsed me, you have seen me. Imagine what it would be like if I had to be Israfil. Jibreel tells him, because Jibreel knows all the angels. He said, you know what it would be like if I had to be Israfil. And who's Israfil? Israfil is the angel that will blow the trumpet on the day of Qiyamah. It will gather all the people together for the day of judgment. Jibreel said to him, if I had to be Israfil, my form would seem small and tiny in relation to him. You couldn't look at me. But subhanallah, there is no way that you would have been able to withstand the form of Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. So even the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed confirmation. He wanted to get a glimpse. Of course he did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually took him on the Mi'raj. Took him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw the heavens, he saw Jahannam, he saw Jannah. And that is why when the Quran addresses us, the Quran doesn't address us directly. When it comes to the most important things, like belief in Allah, what does Allah say? Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah doesn't say, قُولُوا هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah doesn't say, all of you must say Allah is one. No. Allah says, only one person must say Allah is one. قُلْ is one person. If I say to him, I say to him, قُلْ, you, sir, say Allahu Ahad. So Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you say Allah is one. Why? Because he is the witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he says Allah is one, of course we all believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Because we believe in the trustworthiness of Al-Amin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there was one man of all the prophets. One man stands out in the history of mankind. Who, when he was asked, "How do you know Allah exists?" This man was asked, this one man. He was asked, "How do you know Allah exists? Kayfa arafta rabbak?" And this man replied, "Araftu rabbi bi rabbi walau la ma araftu rabbi." And this man replied, he said, "Araftu rabbi bi rabbi, I know Allah exists because he exists. Walau la ma araftu rabbi, because if Allah did not exist, I would not have known that he exists." The Prophet ﷺ said, if the iman of that man was put on the one side of his scale, and the iman of all the believers were put on the other side of the scale, that man's iman would be heavier than the iman of the whole of the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. His name was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. When it came to iman, subhanallah. When it came to belief in Allah, that was it. That was the ultimate. That is the example. Absolute. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey Allah. No one else. Your Prophet has come to bring us min ibadatil ibad ila ibadati Rabbil Ibad. Your Prophet has brought us from the darkness of worshipping man to the light of worshipping the Lord of man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman, tawakkul, trust, faith, absolute, unquestioning in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he'll be the first man to enter Jannah after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First man to enter Jannah after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he was a scrawny man, so long, didn't weigh much. Didn't know chi, scrawl. He by muscles here. When he was in the cave, he was a human being. It's not about your physical strength. It's about your belief. That will carry you into Jannah. It's that strong faith to the exclusion of everything this world can give to you. When you say La ilaha illallah, you mean La ilaha illallah. This is what is required of us. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. This is what Ibrahim came, Musa came, Isa alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, he was a human being. When he was in the cave with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, lo nadha ahadum tahta qadabi la ra'ana." He said, "Oh Prophet, if the Quraysh was right there by the cave, you know, the web was spun, the egg was laid. He looked down and he saw the feet of the Quraysh. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if one of them should look down, they'll see my feet." He was shaking because he knew there was 100 camels on the head. He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, if they look down at..." Prophet said to him, "Ya Abu Bakr, la takhaf, inna Allah ma'ana." Said, "Oh Abu Bakr, don't fear, don't be afraid. Allah is with us." So in his faith, he was still afraid. He had human fear, he was a human being. What Allah is trying to tell us, he was not an angel. He believed in Allah as a human being. As an Ummah of Muhammad, as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the other fears he had, he was married, he had wife, he had children, everything else. They weren't angels. Muhammad wasn't an angel, he was a human being. With angelic qualities. But he was a human being. So it's possible for human beings like us to become Abu Bakrs. To become Omars and Uthmans and Alis. To become Abu Dharrs and so forth and so on. One day Jibril came and it's finally. Jibril came to the Nabi and said, Ya Rasulullah, Inna Allah yuqri'uka salam. Allah sends you salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you that you should send Allah's salam to Abu Dharr. Al-Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. Now Abu Dharr was not Abu Bakr. Abu Dharr was not Umar. Abu Dharr was not Uthman. Was not Ali. Now who was Abu Dharr? And why did he get this special? I mean, imagine Allah send you salam. Like if somebody sends you salam from England, you say, really? He said, yeah, he said, I must give you regards. You know, I met him in London. Said, wow, I met the man in Makkah and he says, give him salam. Allah sends salam through the seven heavens. So Prophet asked Jibril, oh Jibril, why? Why must I give salam to Abu Dharr? What is so special about Abu Dharr? Jibril said, all the angels in the heavens know him by name. Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. All the angels in the heaven know him by name. Prophet got a shock. Oh, is he so famous? MashaAllah. So Prophet asked, but how do they know him? How is it possible for all the angels to know his name? Jibril said, لِكَثْرَتْ قَرَاءَتِهِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. You may think, whoa, this man must have been some kind of a, you know, saint. No. The saint doesn't exist in Islam. There's no such thing as a saint as a Catholic institution. Saint. Saint Mary, Saint Peter, Saint Paul. We don't have Saint Omar and Saint Uthman. No. They weren't saints. They were members of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad was the Rasulullah, Nabiullah. So he wasn't a saint. So what was his claim to fame? Jibreel said, they all know him because he loves to read Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So you don't have to be hafiz al-Quran for all the angels to know you and for Allah to send you salam and for you to go to paradise. No. Just read Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad with its meaning and understanding and belief. There is one Allah only worthy to be worshipped. Full stop. That's how I used to read in the salah. I used to read maybe the first surah. I used to read maybe Watin. Then after Watin, I used to read Qul Wallahu Ahad. Then make ruku. Then second rakat is Qul Wallahu Ahad 3 times maybe in the salah. So much he loved it. He didn't love the verse because of the word. He loved the verse because it embodied Allah, the knowledge of Allah. That is why the word Ahad is mentioned only once in the whole Quran. You know that? No, the word Ahad, one, is only mentioned in that surah once in the Quran, which consists of 666,000 verses. 114 surahs. Allah mentions the word one once in the whole Quran. Must be a wonderful word. Because the oneness of Allah is the central reality of our lives. That is why shirk is the worst crime that you can commit. Not forgivable. Because you've gone against Ahad. Ahad. You read the Quran, nobody else will be fine. There's certain of these words Allah means only once. Like the word alaq. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. That word also mentioned once in the Quran because it's a very special word. And inshallah, maybe at the later stage, one of our lectures will be on the word علق. So today, and Islam, of course, revelation then balances the two extremes. What are the two extremes? One view is that this is the world and this is the only reality. That's the Western concept. The other view is this world is not real. This world should be dismissed. You should just walk around in one top your whole life and one pair of shoes and live in a shack and drive a 1942 Fiat, and that's your life. And have 12 children. Astaghfirullah. I am amazed sometimes. I drive around and I see more people wearing thobes here than in Arabia. And I sometimes wonder, but you know, there's a way of wearing a thobe. I don't mind, people can wear the thobe. But for streak it thobe, man. I mean, wash it and then wear it. And wash the kufiya before you wear it. I mean, and the shoes, polish your shoes. I mean, there's polish, thing called polish. You, if you wear a thobe, you represent Muhammad. People look at you and say, "Eh, I'm Muslim." But if a non-Muslim Muslim says, "Excuse me, if I must become Muslim as I look like that," nothing wrong with the thobe. But we need to know the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, the way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi did. We have to follow that. So this world is not unreal. We've been put here for a purpose. We have to change this world. Convert the world. The whole world must be converted to Islam. That's our job. So Islam is the middle way. In Islam, the Quran brings to us the other world, the world of the ghaib, in terms that we can understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we gain this understanding. And that we are people who believe in Allah. People who believe in the unseen. Not interested in see what it looks like now. Don't worry, your time will come. Don't scratch. Muni krap. I said in jigdan, muni krap. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your salah on time. Make your salah with your mind on your salah. Fast in the month of Ramadan. Give your zakah. You know, you get an accountant to work out your tax. Take the same accountant and work out your zakah. Don't be neglectful on your zakah. Take it out completely and keep it and then give it out. But don't say, more khatnari bang to, more khatnari bang to, more khatnari bang to. Then next Ramadan, next Muharram comes and you have. And go for Hajj when you have. And that is your full deen. And if you do that properly, you become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't need another wali in your life. You will be the wali. Yourself will become a wali. And that is the struggle that I have myself. That is my struggle. How to make my salah on time, every day. Struggle, struggle, struggle. No oversleep for Fajr. Don't make it late. I don't have time for other things. I really don't have time. Don't ask me to come here on a Thursday night. I don't have time. I have to think about tomorrow morning. To get out of my warm bed. Go into the cold bathroom and take wudu up, dust and then mix up. That's my struggle. And then Dhuhr catches me in Cavendish Square and I have to make Salah. That's my struggle. And Asr, I'm on the road from my work. And Asr and Maghrib is broken. And I haven't made Asr yet. And I could have made Asr at work. But I don't want the white people to see me make Salah. So I miss my Asr. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man faatatu salatul Asr faqad habita amalu." The person who misses Salatul Asr, his whole benefit is zero. Even if you gave R1 million, even if you built a masjid on that day, if you miss Salatul Asr intentionally, without a good excuse, the whole day is. So you see, this is the struggle. So you have a massive headache after Maghrib, and you got the flu, and you want to go sleep, and you want to make Isha the next morning before Fajr. Because Shaitan says that to you. Khad liye man. Fat tu it aspirin zom panadus. Fat your antibiotics. Shaym jita khurat fever. Can you have 10 khat minit? That's our struggle. 100 dinga is makluk. Kom na receive man is makluk. See, struggling. There lies a struggle for deen. Your own struggle. This is what we are. This is what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. A commitment to Allah. That commitment we must have to Allah. So may Allah guide us, inshallah. Make us strong and make us true to our commitments, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.